Welcome to the Insurgents Podcast with Frank Viola. And he's brought a friend. This is the podcast that supplements Frank's groundbreaking book, Insurgents, Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom, which is shaking up the Christian world. You can find out details about the book at insurgents.org. Sit back, open all four ears, physical and spiritual, and join the insurgents. Here's Frank.
Welcome, welcome again, ladies and germs, to another edition of the Insurgents Podcast. I am with Timbo once again. We are going through every reference to the kingdom of God in the Gospels chronologically. And today we are going to discuss Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 to 14. And I will default to you, Tim, to read that to our massive listening audience. And by the way, this is episode 12,450. So if you have not been caught up, you can binge at any time at your leisure and get up to the point where we are looking at Matthew 24, verse 9.
That's right. Just take a week off and binge. Not a problem at all.
There you go. 1 week, that's all, out of your life to get caught up. All right, Tim, go for it.
All right, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this time. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Mm-hmm. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come.
I'm going to read it out of the New American. And this is the 1995 edition, New American Standard. Then they will deliver you to tribulation. And will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And let me just stop there. I have done a study on all of the apostles of Jesus, the first followers. And all of them were martyred for the testimony of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom, with the exception of John, who was exiled to an island. But the stories that are told about each one, some of them have early tradition behind them, some of them later tradition, are pretty horrific, and they will appear in my book, The Untold Story of the New Testament Church, Revised and Expanded, which, God willing, will come out in 2025. If not 2025, then 2026, but we're looking at a 2025 date. So if you're listening to this after the middle of 2025, you'll want to get The Untold Story of the New Testament Church, Revised and Expanded. Not the original, but the new version. Much better, much more comprehensive. So, what Jesus said here in verse 9 actually happened to the first followers of Christ. Verse 10, at that time many will fall away. And that's what persecution does, Brother Tim. It weeds people out. Mm. It weeds their commitment, their level of devotion, sifts it, exposes it, and will betray one another. So here we have Christians betraying one another and hating one another. My goodness. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. Wow. Mm-hmm. Most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom, verse 14, shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Wow. Well, I'm going to default to you, Tim, and have you start us off.
All right. Well, I'm going to take us in a little bit of a different than the traditional direction for this passage. This is, of course, part of Jesus talking about the end times, his second coming, the end of the world. Mm. It applies to that specific context. Mm. But I think this passage also applies to other contexts, because there have been many times throughout history where the church has endured division and persecution, and people have fallen away, and there have been schisms and splits and infighting, and people have devolved into arguments and battles and hatred, hating one another. Mm. So that's not just a one-time thing that's going to happen sometime far in the future. Mm. That's something that has happened in the history of the church many times, happens even today. Mm. And when we see this, I think one of the things that we can do is not just say, oh, it's another sign of the end of the world, because I take very, very seriously Jesus' admonition that no one knows the day or the hour, and that that's not up to us to be calculating it. Mm. But it's, what do we do in those circumstances? Mm. What do we do when the persecutions come? What do we do when believers are at odds with one another? And what this text is telling us is that even in those worst situations, which will come into the body, which will come into the world, there is still hope. Because what's still going to happen is the gospel of the kingdom is going to be proclaimed. That's still going out into the world. There will still remain faithful people who hold on to that message of the kingdom, that gospel of the kingdom, and go out so that it reaches everybody. That's the promise that I see in this text, that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how broken the world is, no matter how broken the church is, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world.
Amen.
Will be. Yeah. That's God's promise. That's Jesus' promise. And it's to all the nations. That's a beautiful statement. All the nations, especially in that historical context, it's all the ethne, all the Gentiles, all the people that are not part of God's original covenant. It goes out to every single people group. Mm. And the kingdom is universal, right? The kingdom penetrates into every corner of the world. I think it's easy sometimes to just get discouraged and depressed and say, look at how bad the world is. Look at how much persecution there is. Look at how much infighting there is in the church. Why do we have 30,000 Christian denominations? You know, it's broke, you know, to just say it's broken. But Jesus says, even in the midst of all that brokenness, the gospel of the kingdom is still advancing.
Yes, that's great. This passage in Matthew 24, the context is referring to the time of the vindication of Jesus, his royal appearance and presence, his appearing. And when Paul preached in a city, his message was the gospel of the kingdom. Mm. That was true for all the other apostles too. This business of the love of many growing cold because of the lawlessness being widespread, it reminds me of Revelation 2 verse 5. Remember the height from which you have fallen. He's speaking to the ecclesia in Ephesus. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. That's not the passage I wanted to read. Chapter 3, verse 15, where Jesus himself is speaking to the church, the ecclesia in Laodicea, and he says, I know thy works, and you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you would be cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Wow. Mm. The love growing cold. What a warning. What an admonition. I recently wrote an article on apostolic succession called When Giants Walk the Earth. And it's about the succession of the apostolic ministry from Jesus to the 12 on to Paul and the men he trained on to those that they trained. And what you see in this succession is that all of them proclaimed the same gospel. It was the gospel of the kingdom. we see here the Lord is predicting that that gospel message, that explosive message of the kingdom, will be proclaimed until the very end. And it has to reach all the nations before the final end can come, which to me confirms the fact that that gospel has to be recovered, because obviously it hasn't reached all the nations because the end has not come yet. The parallel passage to this, which is also in Matthew, it's a statement that Jesus made. So this is not something he just said once, is in Matthew 10:17-22. Very similar words. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. And he's talking about his apostles, his disciples. And when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. That's a great promise.
Mm.
And it is a promise that has been repeated all throughout the ages, because God's people have been persecuted in different times and seasons. I remember hearing a story about Corrie ten Boom talking to her father as a young woman, saying, if they bring me before the officials and I'm asked to recount my faith, I don't know if I'll be able to stand. And her father reportedly said, repeating this passage, at that time you will know what to say, and at that time God will give you the grace to stand. And she did. Verse 20, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end shall be saved. That's Matthew 10:17-22. So these are words that he said to the 12, and again, he's repeating a lot of it here in Matthew 24. All the nations in the first century referred to the inhabited world of the Roman Empire. Some say the nations refers to the Gentiles. And some commentators, Tim, believe that this has already been fulfilled. They look at AD 70 as the time when, in their view, Jesus came and the end came. And they look at passages like Colossians 1:23. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. What a statement. That's Paul in Colossians 1:23. And then in Romans 16:26, he's talking about the gospel, the revelation of the mystery, the preaching of Jesus Christ. And verse 26, has now been made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations. So these two texts in Colossians and Romans lead some scholars to believe this is not speaking about the end of the age, but the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70. I think that certainly has an application, but I don't think this is what the Lord is ultimately referring to. What we have here in Matthew 24, it seems to me to be a prediction that has double fulfillment. Certainly in 70 AD, we have a lot of this fulfilled. But the way that the prophetic scriptures work and the prophecies in the Old Testament work is that there's a double fulfillment. And so there will be a replaying, I believe, of the same thing happening at the very end of the age. By the way, the phrase, the gospel of the kingdom, is mentioned here. It's mentioned in Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's also mentioned in Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And it seems to me one of the big takeaways from this passage, which ties into what you had shared, is that the appropriate response to persecution and lawlessness expanding to the point where the love of many will grow cold, the appropriate response is the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes, yes. And I love that you brought out that example of double fulfillment of prophecy for Old Testament prophecies, where there's the prophecy that's fulfilled in the time frame of the prophet, mm-hmm. and that applies to the people of Israel in that context, and that's a true application of the prophecy. And then it also is more completely fulfilled in the coming of Christ. Mm. And I think that's a great insight that happens in the New Testament as well. At least we can read some of the predictions in the New Testament in that way. And I agree with you 100%, Frank. That's a helpful way to read them. For example, that piece that we're reading from Matthew 24. Okay, you can say the events of AD 70, the destruction of the temple, which was the end of the world for many people as they knew it in Judea, right? The, mm-hmm. the destruction of the temple and the forcing out of all of the Jews from Jerusalem, that looks like the end of the world. I mean, that is mm-hmm. that is huge. And it's interesting that you point out the passage from Matthew 10 as well, because toward the end of that piece that you were quoting, a little bit further down, Jesus says, "For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Mm. So this is another one of those places. It's telling us, you know, Jesus is telling us, don't look for single events. Mm. Because clearly the world did not end, right? Jesus did not come in his second coming, his mm-hmm. final appearing, right. when the disciples finished visiting the towns and villages of Israel. Mm-hmm. That's a historical fact. But what did happen then? Is that referring possibly again to the events of AD 70, or is it referring to the resurrection? We could, you know, people could argue either way to the appearing of the Son of Man, but there's also a further encouragement that we find in these passages that yes, God is still at work. Jesus is not done with us mm-hmm. yet. That there will be this final appearing of Jesus at the end when all things are made new. But that's not the only work that Jesus is continuing to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Jesus is at work right now in the world, doing various things. The gospel right. of the kingdom is being proclaimed. The kingdom is inbreaking into the world. And you know, and we could see that. The thing is Jesus, you know, and Jesus does not sugarcoat this. He makes it very clear. There are going to be times where it is brutal, mm-hmm. that evil will be running rampant, and that even evil will appear to be good. Dangerous stuff. You know, many will be led astray, but there's always the hope that comes from the proclamation of the kingdom, that reality of the inbreaking kingdom continues to happen. And I think one of the things that we could do as faithful followers is to be bold enough to point out places where that happens. Mm-hmm. But we could say, look, God is at work. The kingdom is breaking into the world. Despite all of the evil that's in the world and even in the church, the kingdom is still the fundamental reality.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too that what Jesus said here was in fact fulfilled with the 12. They were killed for his name. But that will be repeated. Before his coming, there will be persecution of those who follow the Lord, and those who endure until the end, they will be saved. And also the promise that you don't have to think about what you're going to say when you're brought before the political powers. The Father will give you what to say. That was true for the first followers of Jesus, and it's true for us today. And it has been true throughout history. I mentioned Corrie ten Boom. Mm. This repeats itself. It's kind of like birth pangs. You know, the initial birth pang, 70 AD. Then after that, another birth pang. You could look at history and see different epics. World War II, for example. Mm. All the events surrounding that. Another birth pang. I think the reason why I wrote the book, Insurgents Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom, is because we're living in a day where the gospel of the kingdom has been virtually lost to us. Mm-hmm. That pure powerful, radical, revolutionary, earth-shaking gospel of the kingdom has been diluted and watered down. And if it was being proclaimed widely and clearly and accurately, I would have never taken the time to write that book. I hope that God will use it, and he has been using it, but I hope he will use it to clarify what the gospel of the kingdom is, because it's so important that the Lord said, this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, and he even uses the phrase, this gospel of the kingdom, will be proclaimed to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, if we're not clear on what the gospel of the kingdom is, then guess what? The end is not going to come. This gospel of the kingdom, it's vital that we understand what exactly it is. And as I said in the book and in other places, before you proclaim it, you must be living it out, at least in some degree. Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, implies very strongly that there is only one gospel. He contrasts that one gospel to different gospels, false gospels. And the response has been, among so many, Tim, when I have preached the gospel of the kingdom and shared the gospel of the kingdom, and even in the book, the response by many Christians has been, I have never heard this before. I've heard bits and pieces, but I've never heard this message before. That's not to extol the virtues of the book. It's just to point out that right now we're living in a time where God's people, by and large, are not clear on what that gospel is. But if one really understands that message and grasps it and submits to it, it produces the kind of radical devotion that we see in terrorist organizations toward their false cause, whether it's Hamas, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Hezbollah, and on and on. You look at the kind of devotion they have toward their false cause and what they are willing to do for it, and compare that to the typical Christian and their devotion to Jesus, there's no comparison. But the gospel of the kingdom, when it is preached in its pure form, produces that kind of radical devotion. Not that you're going to kill people for it, but you're willing to die for it. And in the New Testament, and I point this out in the book Insurgents, the gospel of the kingdom is also called the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the everlasting gospel, etc., etc. And this phrase, it will be a testimony to the nations, or a witness to the nations. This to me means that not all will receive the message. Many will reject it, but it will be a testimony and a witness against them that the truth has been told, that they have heard the truth, and what they do with it will determine their everlasting state. So it will be a testimony and a witness against some. It will be a testimony and a witness for some, depending on what we do with that gospel.
And we don't do it alone, right? We are not doing this alone. I think that's one of the things that also needs to be emphasized, because we can get into this place where Jesus is coming back someday. The end will come someday. And yet, as the gospel of the kingdom, as you said, this transformative gospel goes out into the world, it's not just that, oh, there's this faithful little band of followers that's struggling to get it out there. No, Jesus is with us. Jesus is in us. Jesus is compelling this. Jesus is motivating this. Jesus is empowering this. And I think I don't think the phrasing is an accident, where in Matthew 24, where we're reading, all the nations that the gospel is proclaimed, then the end will come. And when you read the very end of Matthew's gospel, when the resurrected Christ sends out the apostles to all nations, all nations, make disciples of all the nations, and the promise there, the empowering promise there is, and I will be with you always to the end.
Yes, amen.
To the end. So this end is not some scary, far-off time that we're hoping for. That's when Jesus is going to come back and And we just have to wait and live in this time of blackness and darkness. But Christ continues to accompany us, continues to empower us, and gives us, like you were saying earlier, who gives us the words? Who gives us the words of proclamation when we're really living it out? Mm. But Jesus gives us the words so that we can truly and powerfully proclaim that kingdom. That happens. We see it happen, and we need to recognize where that happens and celebrate. I think celebrate where that happens. That it's not just someday God will deliver us, but God and Christ is actually in the midst of us bringing of the kingdom here and now.
Yeah. This phrase, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. I talk about this in the book, Insurgents, but at the Tower of Babel, something cataclysmic happened, and that is that the nations had come under principalities and powers, and God disinherited the nations and chose a new nation, which was Israel, to be his possession. But there was a prophecy in the book of Isaiah that one day God would reclaim the nations and inherit the nations, that they would break loose from the power of principalities and powers that were over them and come back under the reign of the living God. And that's what the gospel of the kingdom is intended to do. It is designed to not only save human beings individually, but it is designed to reclaim the nations back under the sovereign God. This is what Jesus, I believe, is getting at, that this message is a testimony to all the nations, whether a testimony against them because they reject it, or a testimony for them because they receive it, to reclaim the nations back under the sovereign God. And God's plan all throughout the Gospels is manifested in the life of Jesus and in the teaching of Jesus as the good news. Christ embodies the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom. And that kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, is his alternative civilization, his alternative society that God has established through Jesus, a society of peace, justice, love, reconciliation, where Christ is enthroned as king. Tim, that is what every local ecclesia is to be, a miniature of the kingdom of God, testifying to the nation in which it is located that God is running the show. This is what it looks like when God is king. Look at this society, the ecclesia, and you will see what it looks like when God is reigning over the whole earth visibly, fully, and completely. That's what the ecclesia is called to be. In many cases, that's not being fulfilled. But that's what it's called to be, and that's what it was in the first century, despite the problems that the church has had. So I see this as you say, a hopeful message, and that when we come under persecution, the response is to proclaim that gospel. But brothers and sisters who are listening to this, if you don't understand what that gospel is, you can't proclaim it. And if you don't live it, you can't proclaim it. So again, I recommend that you look at the book, Insurgents Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom. What do you have to say about that?
Amen. That's what I have to say about that, because that is such a big piece of it, is that the church does not just proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, but the church embodies the gospel of the kingdom. And when that happens, the principalities and powers tremble.
Yes.
They tremble. They tremble and fall. Amen. And I think of the story, and I'm having a little bit of a memory lapse here, but East Germany, just before the wall came down, there was a church, and they were having prayer gatherings. You know, they were having prayer gatherings and Bible studies, and more people were gathering, and until it was like thousands and thousands of people. And of course, the East German government's getting really nervous about this, and so they call out the troops, they call out the Stasi, and they're ready to crush this threat, because any kind of group of people that's gathering, they have to be a threat to the establishment, to the authorities. And the people are praying, they're praying together, and they come out of the church with candles and singing, and the East German soldiers, the Stasi, they just can't shoot them. They just melt away. And one of the commanders said, "We were ready for anything, but we weren't ready for prayer and singing." You know, they weren't ready for, we are an alternative embodiment of what a society could be of the gospel of the kingdom. And it was just a powerful witness to the alternative possibilities that God breaks into the world. That it doesn't have to be all doom and violence and hatred, that the kingdom still breaks into the world because Jesus is still alive.
Yeah, amen. Perfect. Well, on that note, we will end it here. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Insurgents Podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the Insurgents Podcast and give it a 5-star review on iTunes. This will help others find it. Also, you can join Frank's unfiltered email list at frankviola.org and receive encouragement, challenges, and insights connected to the gospel of the kingdom. Remember, the insurgence has begun. Don't miss it.